Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Wisconsin's Missing and Unsolved. This podcast is dedicated to focusing on Wisconsin residents or those found or have gone missing in Wisconsin whose stories still need to be told or may have otherwise been forgotten. Wisconsin has over 1,700 unsolved murders and over 140 missing persons, and their stories deserve to be told until justice is served. I'm your host, Taylor, and on this podcast, I will be diving into the stories and mysteries of Wisconsin's missing persons and unsolved crimes. I feel that so many other notorious cases across the U.S. and the world are given greater media attention, and though that's not to say they don't deserve it, but as a result, there are many cases that get lost in the midst of it. And over time, if no new leads or evidence come about, many cases just continue to get swept under the rug. Like I said before, there are over 1,700 unsolved murders and over 140 missing persons in Wisconsin. To think that there are that many unsolved cases in this state is astounding to me. As I began looking into many of these unsolved cases, I realized just how many, nearly all of them, I had never even heard of before, which then led me to think of just how little people actually do know of these cases. Thinking about how many people are still waiting to be found or have their killers caught was the primary inspiration to start this podcast. I may not have the tools to do any true investigating, but I felt that if I could help tell these stories, that someone out there might know or remember something and come forward. Regardless, by telling these stories, it keeps these people's names and stories out there. So the goal of this podcast is to raise awareness of those persons who have yet to finish telling us their stories. When choosing which cases to cover each week, I would like to say that all of these cases are important, and there's no specific order or reason why I choose to cover one case over another first. There are a lot of cases to cover, and I can only cover one at a time. In addition, many of these cases are older, hence before advanced technology, sophisticated record keeping, or means of investigating were possible, and may have very limited information available. Because of this, this may not be a traditional podcast where each episode is 30 minutes to an hour long. Based on the information available, an episode may only be 5 to 10 minutes long. That said, each episode will also only cover one specific case. I think that each person deserves their own spotlight where time is dedicated to only their story, rather than compiling two or more cases into one episode. So with that, let's get into our first case. Today's case is dedicated to the story of Ashley Love. Ashley Love was born on September 17, 1990, and lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She was born to Tammy and Joe Love, and had an older brother Anthony and younger brother Alex. Ashley's friends and family say that she lived life to the fullest. She loved spending time with friends and family. She loved the Harry Potter series, playing board games, basketball, baking, High School Musical and Zac Efron, Taylor Swift, making magazine cutouts, going to the movies, and watching sports, like the Milwaukee Brewers, Milwaukee Bucks, and the Green Bay Packers. She was hardworking and humble. One of her passions was working for Arby's, which to her wasn't considered work at all, and she loved the people that she worked with. Working for Arby's was more than just Ashley's job, but a place where she connected with her family as well. Both of her parents had worked there before, as well as both of her brothers. In 2019, Ashley graduated high school with honors at the top of her class. In the early morning hours of October 6th, 2009, Ashley Love's life was brought to a tragic end at the age of 19. On the evening prior, October 5th, Ashley came home after her shift at Arby's. After getting home, she spent the rest of the evening with her family, watching the Packer game against the Vikings. Just a normal night for the Love family. Later that night, after everyone was in bed, asleep, at approximately 2 a.m. on October 6th, Tammy and Joe, Ashley's parents, woke to the sound of a gunshot in their home. Hearing the shot coming from the upper floor of the house, Tammy jumped out of bed to investigate and heard footsteps running down the stairs outside of their bedroom door. Opening the bedroom door, Tammy found herself face to face with the intruder, who was wielding a shotgun in her direction. She begged the intruder to take whatever he wanted and to leave their house, to which the intruder took off running. Immediately, Joe went to check on the location where the shots came from, presumably Ashley's room. When Joe called her to check on her, there was no response. Still in the dark, moving closer to her bed, he realized that the shots had, in fact, come from her room, as he found her laying in bed, shot in the face. Soon after, police arrived on the scene. By Tammy's account, the intruder was a Hispanic male, around 20 years old, wearing a mask covering the bottom of his face, a dark zippered sweater or jacket, had short, spiked black hair, and was of average height and build. Furthermore, Tammy said that she believes there were actually two intruders, because when the intruder with the shotgun took off, she saw a flash of something that she assumed was someone else running as well. It's believed that a crowbar was used to break into the house, but this isn't stated definitively. There was nothing taken from the home, quickly eliminating the theory of robbery and leading police to the conclusion that this was a targeted attack against Ashley. Police separated the Love family for interrogations and witness statements. They were questioned and administered polygraph tests and were all cleared as suspects. Milwaukee police claim that they have gone down every single avenue and have reviewed all of those close to Ashley with no solid leads. Ashley's funeral was held on October 19, 2009. Under the circumstances of Ashley's death, media and news reporters were incessant. During the funeral, the family requested that there be no cameras or media inside. Yet, of course, we all know how relentless news reporters can be, and one of the news reporters was able to talk to a friend of Ashley's into sneaking a camera inside. Because of this, Tammy says that she can no longer trust reporters and that they've twisted her words before from prior statements, making claims that are completely untrue. Over time, Tammy and Joe say they have lost trust and hope in those involved in solving Ashley's case, and Tammy says that she does not believe the Milwaukee Police Department will find her daughter's killer. In all their efforts to solve this crime, she states, "Ashley's case isn't Milwaukee Police Department's only case, but she's my only case." Going back to the night before Ashley's death, when Ashley was finishing her shift at Arby's, as she and her fellow coworkers were cleaning up for the night, one of her coworkers noticed that she had left the sink running and that it had overflowed. So Ashley and another coworker, of course, had to mop it up. Her coworkers say that this was very unlike her, but that she didn't seem off or on edge. However, it was odd enough that they remembered it later on. Could this have anything to do with Ashley's state of mind the night of her death? Was she thinking and worrying about something else? One of Ashley's coworkers, Valerie, is also named often in reference to her case. On the night of Ashley's last shift, she was only there because Valerie called in, leaving Ashley to cover for her and work a double shift. Tammy said that she found this very odd and that it seems like it was a setup. She says that she has a gut feeling that this event is somehow related. Supposedly, there were many past issues with Valerie at Arby's. There were instances where she was caught stealing, and Ashley found out, causing her to take action. In response to facing the consequences of stealing from the workplace, Valerie is claimed to have said that she was going to, quote, blow her head off, in reference to Ashley. Police did follow up on this lead. However, they were able to exclude her and anyone close to her as suspects. In the weeks and months prior to Ashley's death, friends and family said that she was starting to let loose a little bit. She was just out of high school, making a life for herself, trying to find some independence and experience new things. Of those new experiences, Ashley had been going to a lot more parties and reportedly tried weed for the first time. Much of Ashley's life revolved around her work at Arby's, and the parties that she would go to were often hosted by coworkers. There may have been other friends and people not affiliated with Arby's at these parties too, but they were the main crowd. Could someone from one of these parties perhaps have followed her home one night with ill intent? Did she have a secret friend or a secret boyfriend and something went wrong? Police have looked into these ideas but haven't found anything definitive to support them. Another possible theory that's talked about, friends say that Ashley had been hanging out with a boy named Tommy, who she'd gone to high school with. In high school, Tommy was popular and good in sports, and he and Ashley were often neck and neck for school awards. But a friend of Ashley's said that Tommy was more of the bad boy type. He was involved with dealing drugs and had vehicle pursuits on his record. He also lived near Ashley's family home. It's thought that seeing this quote-unquote bad boy guy was possibly part of her new stance of living life more on the edge. The theory about her death then being that maybe Ashley rejected him, causing him to snap, thus wanting revenge in some way. In another odd occasion, Tammy, Ashley's mom, said at one point she saw two Hispanic men in a car watching her. Tammy said she found this suspicious, as this is how she described the intruder who she'd come face to face with. Though no one has ever mentioned or linked any Hispanic men to friends or family, let alone the crime. One of Ashley's brothers stated that her murder has to be the result of either issues with school, work, or partying, and he believes that it has to be one of those three. On the 10th anniversary of Ashley's death, the family released a podcast series called Love and Justice about her case in hopes of achieving justice for Ashley. The host, a childhood friend of one of Ashley's brothers, dives deep into the details and showcases personal interviews with other family members. One of these interviews is with one of Ashley's friends, who labels herself as a psychic. Using her abilities, she wanted to connect with Ashley and look for new details about her murder. This friend mentions that she used a pendulum to talk to Ashley. The idea behind the pendulum is that you hold it in your hand and ask a question, to which the movement of the pendulum then, following your question, is a yes or no answer from someone beyond the grave. If the pendulum swings in a line, it means no, and if it moves in a circle, it means yes. First, she says she asked if she was speaking with Ashley, to which the pendulum moved in a circle, hence claiming that it was in fact Ashley that was present. To confirm, she asked what her favorite color was and about Harry Potter, which she said confirmed to her that she was in fact talking with Ashley. According to Ashley then, she told this friend that the person who shot her was someone that she went to high school with. Then, when she asked if it was Tommy, the pendulum swung in a huge circle, a profound yes. Ashley also claims to have told her that the Milwaukee Police Department will never solve her murder unless the person responsible actually comes forward. Ashley also loved to write letters to friends and family. After her death, the family received a flood of letters addressed to Ashley from other family members, friends, teachers, and many others who knew her. In their time of grief, opening the letters seemed too difficult a task for the family to endure. Collecting and leaving the letters untouched for years, they finally decided to open them, featuring the moment in a documentary titled Letters for Ashley. Over the years, the Love family had received over 300 letters. As the family opened and read the letters aloud with one another, it was clear how loved Ashley was and how many people she touched in her lifetime. Today, the Love family continues their search for Ashley's killer or killers and hopes to one day bring them to justice. Ashley's mom now works as a motivational speaker and remains active in local support groups, helping other families grieving through similar tragedies. Ashley's case was deemed a cold case in 2014, but the family hasn't stopped searching and waiting for justice. There is a $12,000 reward for any information that leads to an arrest, conviction, or identification of the individual or individuals responsible. Anyone with information should contact the Milwaukee Police Department at 414-935-7360. Or you can send a tip, named or anonymous, to the podcast that the family released at loveandjustice.com/contact. All of these details will be listed in the show notes as well. Thank you for listening and taking the time to hear Ashley's story today. Please take this podcast and share or talk about it with friends and family. The more people who know, the greater the awareness given to the case. Again, thank you for listening to today's episode of Wisconsin's Missing and Unsolved. Please subscribe and keep an eye out for next week's episode. You can also follow these cases on Instagram at Wisconsin's Missing Unsolved, where I'll be posting images of the victims and other images related to the case. Also, please go subscribe to my Patreon under Wisconsin's Missing and Unsolved. You can become a member and get early access to episodes, hear my thoughts on what I think may have happened and who's responsible, and help decide which cases to cover next. If you have a case that you want featured on this podcast sooner rather than later, please email wisconsinsmissingunsolved@gmail.com. All details will be listed in the show notes. Thank you and see you next week.